Amen,
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 amen, amen, amen. So last week, I just want to, we're going to read the scripture, our scripture text from last week and also from today. We've got a couple of verses to it. Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 17 through 20 and 30 through 32. So, and it reads, and when he came to himself, the King James Version, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." I'm just reading the King James Version today. I have both of them on the screen. Verse 30, "But as soon as this thy son was come, which have devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found."
My God.
"This thy brother." And we're just continuing the lie in the midst of your storm, something has to break. Part two. Hallelujah. 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 We're just giving thanks to God today. Just giving thanks to God today. Just giving thanks to God today that we are going to receive what thus saith the Lord. And I'm going to make this bigger for you. On last week, we started out with understanding that this story is traditionally talked about as a story about salvation for the lost. It's about the salvation of someone who's lost, who doesn't know Christ, and they find themselves and they're coming home to be received by the Lord. And that's for those who don't know Christ, that is true. However, I shared with you from prophetic word last week that there's a subset of salvation. And this story talks about the spirit of surrender. And that even once we know Christ, we have a prodigal son portion in our lives that we wrestle against. And so that requires us to surrender to the will of God.
Amen.
Every day, I don't care who you are. I know for a fact, every day we are faced with temptations to either be obedient to God or disobedient to God. We are faced with temptations to get involved with the emotions of a situation. And I know I'm in the word and in the spirit of what God wants, because I've already heard it today. Did you not hear the testimony said, you know, there was chaos, but in the middle of chaos, God sent a word and a scripture, and the scripture pointed exactly to the sin. Nobody can do that but God. You didn't make Amen. That up on your own. You didn't study enough on your own to say, I pulled it. If you did, you would have did it in the beginning. But God said, I need to provide for you at just the right time so that everything comes into one. And so I don't know about you, but the Spirit of the Lord is among us. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. And we talked about last week, we talked about the first thing is what? You had to identify your sin, your situation. You had to identify your truth. Your truth might be different than somebody else's truth. And said what? This young man came to himself. The truth was, my daddy's got servants that got more bread than I got. And they got bread to spare. And here I am, and I'm going to starve from hunger. He said, that's the truth. There's a truth. He said that truth. And he went on to describe that, wait a minute, there are some things. He said, I'm willing to go and be a part of a desperate situation. I'm willing. I was a son and high ranking, but because of my decision, now I have to join myself as a slave to somebody else that's misused and abused and not thought of very well. So I've left my position of peace and comfort to go to a position that now I am not worthy of anything. That's verses 15 to 16. So what? And we understand our situation has to come from truth. Nobody can tell you your situation. except they hear from God. God has already told you your situation. I don't have to tell you. None of your best friends have to tell you your sins. They don't have to tell you your shortcomings. They don't have to tell you your pain. They don't have to tell you your doubts. They don't have to tell you your fears. They can't tell you your strength. You already know. We have to speak in truth. I don't know if you've ever been to a 12-step program or ever talked to somebody. The first thing they say is you got to acknowledge who you are. So you've been in denial. Oh, no, I don't have a drinking problem. You know, I just like a few here or there. I don't have a drug problem. I don't have an addiction to food problem. I don't have an addiction to porn problem. I don't have an addiction to gossip problem. I don't have an addiction to Facebook. I don't have an addiction to this Instagram and that. I don't have an addiction to the stuff that divides us. I don't have an addiction to anything about anybody. But the first thing is to identify your truth. And then after you identify your truth, after we talked about what, after you identify your truth, you have to have what? A made up mind. He says here, look at what he says, you know, in verses 18 and 19, he said, I will arise, go to my father and will say unto him, Father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I caution you, there's some versions that try to make the Father, okay, in heaven, and heaven and the Father on the same. That's real, but they're two distinct things. Said against heaven first and against thee.
Yes.
He says, well, I'm no longer worthy. I'm not worthy to even come back to you. I'm not worthy to come here. I'm not worthy. I got no rights to come before you and ask anything. He said, but you know, make me as one of your servants. For you treat your servants live better than I live. Your servants are in a better place than I'm in. Your servants have food to eat and some to spare, and I don't have enough. So just make me, just allow me to come. And so when he had a made up mind, and we talked about Psalms 18, he says what? I will call on the name of the Lord. We talked about that this week, in my distress, right?
My God.
I don't know where you are today. I don't know what distresses you have. I don't know if you know God or don't. If you know the Father, then we say, thank you, Lord. And we pray. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, we call you today to come to yourself. Identify your situation that you don't know this true and living God. You don't have a place in heaven. You have not prepared to have the eternal life that God wants to bless with you. If you don't, just come to yourself and say, there is a possibility. Oh, I know you might not believe it right away, but just open up your mind and say, there is a possibility that there is another place other than this heaven. I come to tell you, based on the word of God and the relationship I have with God, that there is another place. There is a heaven where you will live, for you will not see death as we see death.
My Lord.
It will not be your end when you're just 6 feet under or you're in the crematory. That will not be your end. That is just a process we're here. But I come to tell you, there is another place.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And that place is called heaven. There is another place. And Jesus has made the way. There is another place. And Jesus sacrificed. There is another place. So today, I just encourage you to make up your mind, if only just to listen.
Thank you, Lord.
If only just when you make up your mind, just to listen. And then I know that God will reveal to you the truth. And his invitation to come unto him will continue. So that's what we talked about last week. And then we talked about a couple of things as we prepare. But today, we just want to finish with the last point today. Something has to break. Something has to, in the midst of your storm or your situation, something has to break. You can't keep going on like you're doing, you know, because you know something's not right. If you know Christ and yet we struggle with so many things, something has to break. Something has to change today. We look at our society and we see more and more and more of the same kinds of things that we know are not right by God. And we need to see more and more and more of the things that are right by God. More and more and more people accepting Jesus. More and more and more people living in love. More and more people saying, my peace I give. More and more and more people living in joy. More and more and more people understanding that God reigns and God is in control. That's what we, but something has to break. We got to break this cycle of repeating ourselves. We got to break this cycle of, oh, it's just okay. We got to break this cycle of, that's them and this is me. We got to break this cycle that that's their problem and not my problem. We got to break this cycle. Jesus came to break this. Something had to break it. Jesus came to break it. Something had to change it. Jesus came and changed it. And something today that he sits and he waits for us and he sent his spirit. He said it still got to change. Some things got to change.
Yes.
Amen.
We saw that in our Sunday school, right? King Josiah got a whiff of the word. He found the old Torah and they read it to him. He said, something's got to change. And he went to, he said, he decided even before he got verification that it was authentic, he knew in his heart something had to change.
My God.
That's deliverance right there. We don't have to wait for somebody to authenticate it on a worldly perspective. We know in our heart because we're seeking after God that what? Something was wrong. He had a tender heart, so he knew something was wrong. We're not living like God wants us.
My God.
He said, yeah, I can go verify, but I've already begun to make a change because it starts with me. Something has to change. Something has to change. Okay, Pastor. Preacher, what has to change? Well, the first thing we need to understand is when we look at this word, he made up his mind. Look at verse 20. It says, and he arose and came to his father. Uh-oh. He came to his father. He took action.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how many of us that are parents, when if our son or our daughter came to us and had this bold, proud attitude, we're just going to back up a minute and say, look, give me what's mine. Oh, this ain't Kirk Franklin Day, y'all. I'm just keeping it real. How many of us would be tempted to maybe say something?
Mercy.
Okay. How many of us would be tempted to say, look, you ain't got nothing coming. You can't be telling me what you got coming. But the custom was that day, it wasn't about them. The custom in that day, whatever they had, was divided among their children. The eldest got 2/3, and then the other one, if there was only 2, got 1/3. So they had a right based on custom, but you were never that bold to ask for it. But when he came to himself, he came, he said, he arose, he got up, said, I got to change some, y'all. I can't eat what the hogs eat. I can't stay down here in the stench. I can't continue to go like I can't keep doing the same old thing, getting the same old result. Somebody understands what I'm talking about. Somebody's been in relationship after relationship after relationship. Somebody's been in a job situation. Somebody's had children situation. Somebody's been coming to church over and over and over, doing the same old, same old, same, and nothing has changed.
Mercy, Lord.
Every now and then, as we take inventory with God, we want to know the love of God, and we need to know that we're sharing the love of God. But every now and then, if we're not doing and there's no love being shown and no love, we need to know that something's got to change.
Yes.
Amen.
So he said, something's got to change. He said, I'll go to my father. But here's what I like about this. He said, and when he, what? And his father saw him. His father saw him from a distance, y'all. He didn't wait till he was at the house. The father changed. The father had a change. The father said he saw him and had compassion and ran. The father ran. The son was coming who had done the wrong, but the father came and ran with compassion. Oh, y'all don't get the sense of that script. The father saw him and ran with compassion as he was getting close. He said, the father saw and he ran towards him.
Yes.
Fell on his neck and kissed him. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you,
Lord.
Do you not know everybody who professed to be a Christian today, everybody who's been bought with the price and the blood of Jesus, everybody who says that God, my God, is Jesus and Jesus is my God, and I don't care whether you're conservative or whether you're liberal. I don't care about those things. Those are worldly people. But if you know Jesus, it means some of us need to start running from a distance. Some of us need to stop sitting on our laurels and sitting in our chairs and, well, I know, and this is the only way. Some of us need to have compassion on somebody when they're trying to come home. Some of us ought to see with compassion from love. Something has to break.
Say on, preacher. Say on.
We sit and stand in judgment like we know everything and we can never be wrong, but that's not what the word teaches me when it talks about the lost. But then when we, after we've been saved, there's still a process that we need to see from a distance and have compassion.
My God.
We ought to run to them. Uh-oh.
My God.
My God. My God. No, I ain't got to run to nobody. They did me wrong. I ain't got to run to nobody. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about a man. Let me tell you about a story about a man. I know a man. I'm not going to name the man, but I know a man that he had a whole bunch of kids. And one day his kids got so full of themselves that all the boys jumped on their daddy. They jumped on their daddy and they beat their daddy. And they decided they were going to do whatever. They beat their daddy. Now, they don't understand something. Daddy could have killed them all. All for him. He could have killed them all. He could have beat them all. He could have just wasted the world. But daddy did. Daddy sat there and let the kids beat him. Daddy said, if that's the way y'all want to be, then I'm gone. But let me tell you how this story is today. Them boys come running to their daddy.
My God.
Them boys to this day, they come running to their daddy. And when they run to their daddy has never reminded them what they did because of his compassion. He just wants them to know the love he has for them.
My God.
Amen.
And he has lived 40, 50 years after they beat him, and he has loved them every day until they came to themselves. And when they came to themselves, he had compassion and came running to them.
My God.
I don't know about you. How many of you will take a beat down from your child? And when your child comes running back, you're going to be there saying, hey, come on home. Well, in case you don't know, that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus took the beat down.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
They whipped him, y'all. They beat him. That's what Jesus did. So that what? He can make a change in the way we see things. That's what Jesus did. He died for us. That's what Jesus did.
Yes.
His concern was that he would have compassion. His concern was that he would show love. His concern was that, what? No matter what has happened, you can still come on. That's what Jesus did. I don't know about you, but it's in the book. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 14. Look at what Paul said. Paul was talking about all the things that were going on. And Paul was saying, look, I want you to understand something. He said, behold, the third time I'm ready. Paul said, I'm ready to come back to you. I'm ready to come back. I want to talk to you again. I want to be with you again. And he said, what? I will not be burdensome to you. He said, I ain't going to worry about your money. I'm not going to cause you any hardship. He said, for I seek not yours, but you. He said, I'm coming to see you. I'm coming to show you love. I'm coming to what? Be a blessing to you. But he said, yes. But look, there's a warning here. There's a warning. He said, but look, I seek your beauty. For the children ought not to lay up for the parent. The parent supposed to lay up for the child. So Paul said, your daddy, your mama, your daddy, the parent, I'm coming as the parent because Jesus came. I'm coming for you.
Bam.
My God.
Christ is our Heavenly Father. He's coming for us.
Thank you, Lord.
He ain't afraid of what we've done. He ain't tarred that in our face. He's coming for us. Because you know something's got to change, something's got to break. You don't have to stop there. Go to 1 Corinthians, go to Revelation in the first chapter. We know that what? When John was on the Isle of Patmos in the midst of his situation, y'all get that now, in the midst of his situation, in the midst of the storm, he was on the Isle of Patmos. He said, what? I was in the spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day, and God spoke to him. And then when you look at verses 5 and 6, it's from Jesus Christ, who is what? The faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in what? His own blood. John said, oh, look at here. Jesus washed us in his blood. There was compassion. Something had to change. Said, look at what he did. He changed us. He made us what? Kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion. He said he changed us from the filthy rags. He changed us from the heaven. He made us kings and queens. What? By the washing in his blood. Somebody today ought to say, yeah. I'm a king. I'm a queen. Somebody my say, God. I'm a prisoner. Somebody Hallelujah. Say, I've been transformed. Somebody say, in the midst of my storm, Jesus changed me.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, I heard the testimony. Maybe you did not heard the testimony. Somebody say, I didn't have growing up. I didn't know growing up, but look at now. God has reconciled because he's made us kings and queens. God has reconciled. Somebody else said, I didn't do that well before, but look at what God has done now. He made me. He gave me the understanding. He gave me wisdom, and I have passed the test, y'all. Y'all, somebody don't get that. For you, it was My easy. For others, it's not easy, but they need to know God will provide and make a way.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, get it right. Look, he said what? He made us. He said, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and all kindreds of the earth shall what? Well, because of him, even so, amen. He said, look, he said, the I am talking about Christ. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom, patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle called Patmos. John said, look, I know where I was. I know my situation. But he, Jesus, said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. So no matter what it is you're going through, John, look unto me.
Yes.
Something has to change. Something has to change in the way we look at things. Something has to change in the way we operate. Something has to break when we let go of what the world says and we operate on how God said. I don't want about to see, but I just look around today. And when I look at the professed body of Christ, I don't see us operating totally as the body of Christ. I see us holding on to some of that old stuff, and that old stuff got to be broken off.
Mercy, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, y'all get it. Y'all get it. Y'all get it. Oh, it's like cooking green beans, y'all. It's like cooking green beans. Now, some folks don't string the green bean, and that's okay. They willing to deal with whatever the strings are that they come, and they just bite them and eat them. But every now and then, I grew up there, we didn't like the string. So we broke off the end of the green bean so that we could have a sweet-smelling taste when we chewed on it. It had no strings in it. There was nothing attached. I don't know about you, but we accept Jesus the Christ. Jesus breaks off that sin. He breaks off that piece of us that's not supposed to be a part of us by paying the price. So now that what? When we chew on the word of God and we chew on his love, we come forth as pure God. We come forth. There's nothing that we eat. There's nothing that we drink of God that will do us no harm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's not your analogy, but God will give you your analogy. He break off the ends of the green bean. And somebody said, well, it's good for you. I ain't never liked a string of nothing. That string didn't do, maybe the tips have, but it didn't have a string, didn't have a purpose in my life. God has to break off the ends of whatever it is in your life that's causing you grief. Maybe that break has had to come from pride. Maybe that break has come from laziness. Maybe that break is coming from some physical ailment that you think has got that you got you in a situation. Maybe it's coming from a situation that you know too much and you don't know how to deal. Maybe it's a situation that guess what? You got too much, you got it on your own. And you know, maybe it's a situation that you said, I ain't never had none, ain't never going. Have nothing, ain't never gonna be nothing, but that's not what God says.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
He said, you're a king and a queen, you're a prince and a princess. He said, what you are his and who belong to him, he what he takes care of. He said, just come unto me all ye a week and what happy lay and what I will give you. This young man said, look, I got to make a change.
Thank you, my God.
Oh, that's not the end. Because see, there's another thing that has to go along with this. There's another warning here. There's another opportunity for us to see the compassion and love of God. And that goes to the last three verses, verses 28 to 31. Look at what he said. Look at what he says. He said he was angry. We're talking about the other son now. The first son came home. The first son saw his daddy run after him, come out to him, hug him. The first son saw his daddy rejoice that he was what? Back home. The first son saw his daddy say, look, bring the robe, kill the fatted calf. The first son said, ooh, I don't understand this, but this is good stuff. I done did my daddy wrong, but I come back, and because I've repented, because I've changed my way, my daddy's throwing a party. Somebody, y'all don't get it. There's a party, and it's going to be on your behalf. It ain't down here on earth, but there's a celebration and a party when we get to heaven that God is playing, and he's just waiting on us to get there. And oh, by the way, you ain't got to get there on your own. He's coming to get you. He's going to drive you there in your own personal limo. He's going to escort you on the wings of his wing. He's coming to get you in a way that you ain't never seen before. It's going to be your own personal party that we all rejoice with Jesus. Maybe you don't want to call it a party. That's okay. A praise session. A worship session. Use your own term, but I'm going to be celebrating with Jesus.
My God.
But look, there's this other son who knew what was right, y'all. He knew what was right, y'all, right? He stayed home, y'all. He did the right thing. I'm going to support my daddy. I'm going to work in the field every day. I'm going to do the things that daddy can't do because I respected my daddy. But y'all don't understand, there was an underlying thing going on. He was doing it so he could look good. He was not doing it because of pure love. And so what happens when the young son came home and the daddy began to rejoice, the real part of the old son started to reveal himself. What's on the inside got to come out sometime, y'all. So if it's not been changed, not been transformed, it's going to come out. Look what he said. He said, wait a minute. He asked the people, what's going on? He said, you know, your brother. You know, he came home, and your daddy, he killing the fatted calf, and he doing all these things. He received because he came home. He said, wait, he was angry. So notice how now, from the place of for surrender, the place of peace, he got angry. Jesus. Is there anybody here that's angry today? It's just a question, y'all. It's just a question. Anybody angry today? You don't have to answer, but you know if you are. Jesus already knows. Are you angry about anything today? Are you like the older son? He's angry. He was so angry he wouldn't go in. Oh, you know. Are you angry at a relative? Are you angry at a brother or sister? So you won't speak to them? Are you angry at somebody that's a friend or distant relative, a mother or father, and you won't talk? Are you angry because of what they got and what you don't got? Are you angry because, you know, you think they don't understand? Are you angry at your brothers and sisters? And I say that again, and I'm not just talking about your biological brothers and sisters. I'm talking about your brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you have aught against them today? Or don't let me get specific, y'all, because we know what the truth is, whether they black, white, Hispanic, Asian, ethnic. Are we angry at them today? Or are we angry because they don't see it? Are we angry because they're Republicans and they're angry because we're Democrats? Is somebody like the older son, we're angry because of where they are today? Somebody understand, but that's not the situation that the father wants us to be in. So he said he wouldn't come here. But do you notice the role of the father? The father came to him. The father's behavior didn't change.
Thank you, Lord.
The father came out to him, just like he ran for the. He came out to him. And then he explained, he said, wait a minute. He said, wait a minute, daddy, all these years I served you. You need to train. I didn't do anything wrong. I did what you said. I was the good kid. Now, before y'all say I was the good kid too, be careful now. He said, but you never did these things for me. We weren't allowed to have parties. You never threw one for me. We weren't allowed to kill the fatted calf. You say that for special occasion. You never had a special occasion for me. He said, dude, you were always with me, son. Everything that you have, you partook of. Oh, let me make this clear. If I had a party for somebody else, you were there. If we rejoiced about anything in the community or anybody, you were there. Everything that you see around, you knew that this was yours. All you had to do was wait. But you got to use it every day. Mm-hmm. This is yours. He said it was meant that we should make somebody. Wait a minute. He said, son, look, your brother, which was lost, he didn't live in the truth. He didn't have the salvation of the Lord. He's come home.
Mm.
We ought to rejoice.
Yes. Oh,
you don't have to believe me. Look at 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. I'll go back to 2 Corinthians 12 and I use verse 15 this time. I used 14 last time. He said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Look, Paul said, wait a minute. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm coming to take care of myself, but I want you to know something. The more I love you, seems like the less you love me. The more I spend on you, I'm going to spend it. But it seems like because I'm bringing you love, the less that you show your appreciation, the less that you show your love, the less that you want to be willing to give and to do.
Hmm.
Paul said, I'm glad. I'm not trying to be a burden. But if you say you love me, you ought to be doing some things. If you say you love, then, somebody get to. If you say you love Christ, then you ought to let some of the stuff go that is not of Christ, because you ought to be living like Christ. Somebody get. You love Christ. You love like Christ love, because I've accepted you as my Savior. Then you ought to love those who don't love Christ, are not unworthy. They're unworthy. They're not trying to seek. You ought to love them enough to try what? Share a word about Christ so that they would know Christ. Somebody get. Oh, they're not like me. They're not from my neighborhood. They're not from my economic status. They're not from my political party. So I ain't worried about trying to love them. They're hating on me. I'm going to hate on them. They're misusing me. I'm going to misuse them. It's sick and tired time of being about all this political stuff. And it's the time to rejoice and be about Christ, because somebody's missing the mark. But our Father, when he comes, our Father who's coming back, is coming back with compassion. He sent the Spirit to walk with, and his compassion is for everybody who loves him in the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, what a sad thing it would be. And I'm just glad it can't be. So, but what a sad thing it would be if we were to go before the King, go before our Savior, you stand over there and I'm going to stand over here.
Mm.
But like I said, I'm glad it can't be. God's plan is perfect. We can't do that. So something has to change today. So as we look at our lives, we know that something has to break. And in 2 Peter, we see that the word talks about how we break some of these things. In 2 Peter, it says, we're going to be shown, and this is understanding, today we're going to see so many false teachers, so many false prophets that are designed to lead us astray. They're out there, y'all. They're teaching, they're speaking, they're preaching, they're sharing, they're discipling people, and it's not for Christ.
Mercy, Lord.
And so today, the warning in 2 Peter says, wait, look. So while they promise them liberty, they're promising you freedom. They themselves are the servants of corruption. The false prophets are trying to get your attention. The false prophets are saying it's okay for anything and everything. That is not of God.
Mm.
It was a false prophet saying it's okay to be this, okay to do that, okay to do that. The love of Christ knows that there are things that are still not right by God, but he loves you enough to draw you in. But don't ever begin to believe that this is what God says, because it's not what he says. He said, these are false prophets. They themselves are servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought what? Into bondage. If you surrender that all these things are okay, and that's who I'm going to follow, it brings you into bondage of the untruth. Says what? But after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there again, here it is. Say, after they've escaped, you've been saved, sanctified, born again. We know that God loves us. We become part of the King. Say, what? They are then entangled, re-entangled. That's what he said. Again, entangled therein and overcome the latter end, and worse with them than the beginning. We know Jesus loves us. We know he gives us salvation, but then we go back and get entangled in the false truth, the untruth.
Mercy, Lord.
Something has to break. But it's happening to them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. There's something we learn about the dogs. Dogs will throw up what's not good for them. When it hits their innards, their stomach, their biological makeup will cause them to throw it up because it's not good for them. But the proverb says they have such little understanding that they go back and eat it. So the thing that's not good for them, they go back and eat anyway. And Peter's warning that we ought not do that. When we left pride, we left self-centeredness, we left a love of ourselves, and we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we ought not go pick up the things of the world.
My God.
Something has to change. Something has to break, that we have the peace and the righteousness in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our situation. And we, as the body of Christ, believers in Christ, we need to know that that's based on what? That's based on Christ's love. When the word says God is loving, love covers a multitude of sin. And when the word tells us that the greatest of these, faith and charity, what? The greatest of these is love. We have to walk in the love of Christ.
None.
Ooh, identify our situation. Something has to break and know where we are. Look at what it said. Last week I told you what God has already done for us. Look at that. He's already made a break when he forgives us. And it talks about that in Luke 23 and 34. It says what? God has already made a break when he gives us his salvation, coming unto him and accepting him as our Savior. You can read about it in 4 and 12. Say, God has already made a break when he forsakes us now. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the hog pens of life are, no matter what they are, I'll never leave. So when we come to our senses and we come back, God is going to always be there. He's going to run after us like the father ran after the youngest son. He's going to say, look, I'm going to lay my head and I'm going to have compassion and I'm going to kiss you because I show my love. And even like the older son, he didn't wait for the son to come in. He went out to the son because it was important that he would know the truth. That's how Jesus will never forsake us. He's always been, he made a break when he shows us what his compassion.
Yes.
Songwriter years ago said, oh, I want to see and look upon his face. To see his love, to see his compassion. I confess you, I've never seen Jesus personally, but I know he lives. I've never seen what color his hair is, but I know he lives. I've never seen the color of his eyes, but I know he lives. I've never seen what his lips look like and whether he had beards and mustaches and all the image we kind of, I've never seen, because those aren't the images of Christ. But what I do know is I know that he has compassion. What I do know is that he loves me. What I do know, he's not forsaking me. What I do know, he died so that I might have a right to salvation. He loves me. What I do know is he is forgiving me for my sin. What I do know is when I do see him, all of the things that he's done, all of who he is, are just going to overwhelm me, that all I'm going to be able to do is shout for glory. I do know that he made a way and a break when he allowed distresses for, he allowed the distress of 2 Corinthians and Philippians 2 and 7. His distress will, the distress will not overtake, but he is with us in our distress. That's what I do know. And yet the other thing that I know is something's got to break. Something's got to break. There's a song that says something's got to change. I say something's got to change. Something's got to break by Pierre Sheridan. We've seen that people have been blessed by the anointing in that song. And I'm going to play it in a little while. But right now, I just want you to know that you need to understand that something has to break. Something has to change. If it's not right by God, then we got to break it. Years ago, they said, break every chain. And that was the catchphrase. We'll break every chain. And can't you hear the chains falling? And we declared. And then every now and then, another song will come through and another word will come through. But the story is still the same. Something's got to change. Something's got to break. We are not held in the bondage. God has set us free. We know destiny. We know what? Say victory by the hands of the Almighty. What? I've been set free. And something broke. Something had to change. I've been healed and delivered. And now what? Made complete. Something had to change today. Something's got to break. So today, as we pray, as we prepare for prayer, there's some things that got to change. There are some things that got to break. Old traditions, they got to break when they don't point to Christ. Old knowledge that we've lived with, that doesn't point to Christ.
Bad preacher.
It's got to break.
Yes.
Selfishness, it's got to break. Pride, it's got to break.
Yes.
We learn a little something, something. We know a little something, something. And now we're the Almighty. The Pharisees had to understand it had to break. Because only what we know of Christ and only what we do according to Christ's direction will last. Might have worked last time, but God has a new thing this time. It's got to break. Somebody today, you know God is trying to break something that's within you that held you bondage. It's causing you to not be doing what you need to do. It's causing you not to surrender. It's causing you not to work and help other people. It's causing you to be in a place that's not where God wants you to be. Something's got to break. The only message I would have for our government on both sides is something's got to break.
My God.
For folks who feel they can go hurt people, something's got to break. For people who think they can hate on people, something's got to break.
My God. Thank
it's
you.
It's not a new thing. It's an old thing.
Not at all.
It moves from person to person, race to race, ethnicity to ethnicity, but it hasn't changed. Something's got to break.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus came to break it. Jesus died to break it. Jesus rose to break it. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. The world is not overcome. He said, it's got to break. Something's got to break. So today, as we prepare to go in prayer, as we prepare to just surrender things to God, if you've sent prayer requests, we're going to take a moment. We're going to take a moment and just take a quick look at those, if there's anything there. But hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a move. There's a move. God is changing some things. Some things have got to break.